Sangeeta, Poonam and Meenal are back with the last episode for year 2022. And obviously, as is going to be the norm, we are going to do a year-end review. So for the listeners, this is just the summary of all the dramas that we watched this year, released in 2022, which were some of the old dramas before 2022. We are going to pick our favorites. It's just a personal opinion. We are not the experts, but this is about dramas we enjoyed, dramas we didn't like. And that's what we're going to comment upon today. So Poonam, Sangeeta, which one of you wants to start and with which category first?
I think let's also talk about how we have organized our categories. So we have three kinds of categories. The first are, of course, about the dramas that we liked. And we are not saying these are best dramas. We are just saying these are our favorites. And the second category is about characters and the actors to celebrate them. And the third category is about scenes, like heartwarming scenes, scenes that made us cry, things like that. So we have three kinds of categories. So it is purely to review all the things that we have watched this year and not necessarily everything in 2022. I mean, we always watch older dramas. If we watch those dramas this year and we don't have a favorite moment or a favorite drama for 2022, we are going to speak about older dramas that we watched.
Yeah, it's kind of impossible to watch all 2022 dramas because I was going through Twitter and apparently 100 odd K-dramas were airing this year from Jan to December. I don't think anyone else has the capacity to watch 100 dramas.
All right. So shall we start with the easiest one, which is our favorite drama of the year?
Was it easy, Poonam? I wanted to categorize between, can you give me non-rom-coms and rom-coms? It's so tough.
No, it was very easy for me. And in the sense, so I watched, thanks to you both, and because I followed recommendation and I wasn't watching as it came along, I managed to watch all the dramas that I liked. So I watched good dramas. But out of that, if I had to choose something like wholesome, which meets all the parameters that you look for in a favorite drama, I don't think I would put all of them in there. Again, that's my logic. Doesn't have to be everybody's logic or everybody doesn't need to agree with it. But when I thought of it, something that was good for me from all angles, I thought that Through the Darkness and closely followed by 2521. I did love watching the entire experience of 2521 as well. So those are my two picks. I found it very hard to drop 2521. So I'm cheating and adding another one.
Oh, it's okay. I also have two. Even I struggled to keep one. I just went back with the logic of which would I rewatch and rewatch and what would I love, what would give me joy and laughter. And for me, it was Our Beloved Summer. And The Law Cafe was a very surprise drama for me. I didn't expect it to like it as much as I thought I would love it. And they both had very age-appropriate romance. I loved Our Beloved Summer's angsty romance and their bickerings and banterings. And pretty wholesome in terms of the squads also, the supporting cast around both these couples. So I really enjoyed the romance. I crave for good romance. I don't get that in any other Hollywood, Bollywood stuff I watch. So yeah, these two were my picks for my favorite drama this year.
My pick was also based on the logic which Meenal said, that which would I rewatch and rewatch most. And I have already rewatched and rewatched Kiss Sixth Sense quite a lot.
Because Sangeeta's newfound crush this year.
Exactly, was Yoon Kye Sang. I've even gone and watched his older dramas after Kiss Sixth Sense. So by that standard, Kiss Sixth Sense was my most favorite drama of 2022.
Our next category is favorite drama that made us cry. Specifically cry, and we don't have to talk about dramas crying in a bad way rather, but crying in a way which was heartwarming or meaningful or made us feel something, made us feel compassion. So my choice is Juvenile Justice. I think we have talked about it before. Juvenile Justice is about juvenile crime. Any crime related to juveniles and children is very, very difficult to watch. But I felt that the two prosecutors that they had in lead, I thought that they showed compassion on their part. Even though their backgrounds were different, their motivations were different, I thought I learned a lot about perspective of juveniles, perspective of the prosecutors, and how the system sometimes doesn't work, it's not designed to work, or how sometimes it does come together. I really, really think it was worth my time to watch that. It opened a whole new world for me. And yes, it was difficult to watch, made me cry. But if I have more strength, and if I wanted to, you know, observe more, I'll probably go back and watch again at some another time.
No, and I think the cast and way the stories were told in Juvenile Justice were very impressive. And it was short. It was 10 episodes, very tight. This is where I think K-dramas really need to relook at themselves and come down to 10, 12 episodes. I think Juvenile Justice is one good example. I binged it over 3 days because it was so well done. So I agree. So my favorite drama that made me cry actually was Chocolate. I actually had stopped watching it. I watched 5 episodes because it was really slow. And then when it started picking up pace, I just found the whole setting in hospice, their backstories. And I think Yoon Kae Sang's portrayal, you know, he's struggling with so much emotions in his life, and how controlled he was in his demeanor as a doctor, and how he changes his approach to Ha Ji-won, who's also happens to be his childhood sweetheart, which he comes to later. Their whole relationship, how it develops, which is such a lovely slow burn romance. But at the same time, I think their connection with the patients and how they grow with the patients, those stories were really moved me a lot. So I absolutely loved Chocolate, and it did make me cry buckets.
Agree with you. Even I cried.
It is a, by the way, super, super slow burn romance. I think it took 16 yeah. episodes to discover that connection. I was like, when are you going to do this? And you have made us cry bucketfuls. I will probably, I agree with everything you said, but I will probably never rewatch Chocolate again because it was very crybaby. And I don't like to see the characters that I like to cry them a lot. It's very difficult for me to bear. So I'm not going to watch it again, but I totally understand why it's on the list.
But you know, there are scenes where he discovers that she is the little girl.
I have written that in my favorite one.
Come to it. And
it comes after so much waiting, so much yes. patience.
Or even when he holds her, she sleeps for hours and he's on his knees, right. Or kneeling, you know, at the, oh God, it's a pebble beach, it hurts. And I was like, this is so lovely. So, yeah, I mean, I understand where you won't go, but their acting was beautiful.
True. Even I loved Chocolate. I cried buckets, and I cried so much more watching other Yoon Kae Sang dramas also.
So Yoon Kae Sang, I thought that it was wonderful to see him as that boyfriend in Love, in both Kiss Sixth Sense and the Chocolate. But my God, it comes after so much waiting. Why? I mean, that's exactly why I am in watching this K-dramas. Okay, just give me more of it, but early. Don't make me wait that much.
True, I agree. But another drama that made me cry was If You Wish Upon Me. Had a similar, the hospice setting like in Chocolate, but a very different drama in the way the story progresses, the characters and everything. I think this is one of Ji Chang-wook's best performances till date. The drama goes all over the place after episode 9 or 10. I did not enjoy watching it throughout, but the emotions that Ji Chang-wook brings in you, the emotions that he shows on screen with simple things like just patting his head when he's really frustrated or when he's just looking at the female lead longingly, anything, you just feel it. He just makes you feel it. I think that was especially episode 8, if I remember right, that was like, wow, I was mind blown by his performance in that. So that also made me cry because his story is the most, I don't know, I wouldn't say sad also because he does have a happy ending and he does get his happily ever after. But the struggle that he goes through throughout the drama and so much he puts up with from everyone, from his father to the girl who he grows up with, everything, you just observe his struggle, you see and you feel his pain and you wonder why is he in so much pain and why can't he just get a break? So that's another drama that made me cry.
Okay, we've got emotional. So which is the one that made you laugh?
Ghost Doctor. I am I've laughed looking at the silliness in this drama. Oh my god. It's like you think, oh, this episode was super silly. The next episode trumps that. So and Kiss Sixth Sense, of course, the ridiculous premise. Though you have already read the webtoon, Meenal and I had already read the webtoon, and still we were laughing.
It was done well. But it was done so well. I thought it was a good drama. Yes. I mean, mainly for me, it's the couple worked. The couple really did it. I was not so much into the supporting cast, but the couple worked for sure.
Absolutely. Kiss Sixth Sense is my entry too.
Yeah, such a ridiculous premise work, right? It's like they made that premise look okay. I mean, oh yeah, this is funny. Otherwise, I think you would have just felt like, I can't even watch this. This is so ridiculous.
Actually, it has a ridiculous scene where Seo Ji-hai, basically Yusul, she kind of falls on Yoon Kae-sung and kisses, because they had to somehow show some kind of touch to happen for the device to work. And I was like, why hasn't it happened to me or the people I know who fall on somebody else to kiss? Only a K-drama writer had to think really, really hard to contrive a situation where you just randomly fall on the person and you end up kissing her.
No, it doesn't stop at the kissing, right? She can see the future when she kisses. Please. So, if it wasn't for the couple, I would have dropped the drama. I think those two had terrific
so
chemistry.
Convincing.
And there are parts when, you know, I don't know how to, if there is a good English word for this, that nope joke face where they were not exactly getting along. Even that face was absolutely funny to see them, especially see Yusul complain about the boss and, you know, her inner dialogue that used to happen, you know, condemning him or his habits and all of that. I thought even that was quite funny.
They both did a very good job. And she is so gorgeous also to look at. Yeah. So it
and their chemistry, they had a very
good
chemistry.
So my picks were actually Prison Playbook. And for a long time, I didn't watch this drama thinking prison life and it will be so grim watch. Who wants to watch this? Because I've watched a lot of Hollywood prison dramas. But by God, the drama just turns on its head. And every character was hilarious to watch. And Amit, my husband, picked it up last week. And they are long episodes, okay? 1.5 hours, 16 episodes. But I rewatched it with him and I laughed doubly hard. So if people are looking to, want to just chill out, have a hearty laugh, I would highly recommend Prison Playbook. Give it 3 episodes. It's from 3rd episode when the actual gang comes together that it starts kicks off. So it's really funny. I liked Goss Electronics. I didn't expect this drama to be so chaotic and ridiculous about an office drama. And I had the most ridiculous scenes. And I'm like, why am I laughing and enjoying this so much? But I think it happens when you go with no expectations. They are funny characters and it just works for you. So it was more like Pegasus Market where, you know it's ridiculous, the whole plot. But you still enjoy because of the actors and how they deliver the scenes and dialogue. So, yeah, it was good. If people like brainless comedy, go watch Goss Electronics. I would recommend that one for folks.
Next category is, which is the drama, which started as Usain Bolt, which means as good excellence, and turned into a train wreck. This phrase is not mine, by the way. This is me.
So for me, it was Extraordinary Attorney Wu, because I watched the first episode, I had mixed feelings and I kept it aside, and then the whole planet went crazy over Attorney Wu. It's like the best drama ever, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, let me get back and watch. I got FOMO. I said, am I missing out on something really good? Maybe I was biased, so let me put my biases aside. It went really well till episode 5-6 and I started enjoying the legal cases, and Kang Ki-yeon was just tremendous in it. I was enjoying his dynamic with Wu. But after that, after episode 7, I just gave up on it because they just lost the plot. They lost the legal cases. The legal cases didn't make sense. They brought a parenting angle, which they could not resolve. I don't know what they were trying to say. And I would have liked a bit more focus on Wu and her growth. And they just forgot that she's probably the central character and we need to show more about her. The romance felt, it came up, then it went off. And I was like, good Lord, the writer's completely forgotten what they're trying to do. So I think I was very disappointed with the way it ended. So that was my, started as Usain Bolt, looked like it will crack the world record, break World of Marriage ratings. And it just, everybody seemed to have lost interest after episode 7. That's what happened. So what about you guys?
For me, it was forecasting love and weather.
No, the acronym is better, Sangeeta.
Exactly. I wish they had constantly kept telling flaw, flaw right from the beginning so that I would have decided, okay, I would have at least been prepared for the flaws it had. I was so excited to think of a Noona romance for Song Kang. And Park Min Young, I mean, this kind of roles, she's like sort of tried and tested all the time, right? She's all the time playing these office roles. And I thought, okay, she'll be doing decent. But I don't know. The drama just went all over the place after a while. The second lead romance was quite weird. It was going up and down. The only thing that hooked me to it, still hooked me to it, was the weather forecasting parts, which I really enjoyed because I did not know so much about weather forecasting, what happens in a typical weather forecasting office and everything, right? So those kept me hooked and it went on, and towards the end, at least sort of, they kind of saved it a little bit. But that was one drama, it's okay. I mean, I'll put it away.
Thanks to you both, like I keep saying, I actually haven't watched too many bad dramas. So the two dramas which I did not like never actually started really well for me. One is Little Women.
So then it's not Usain Bolt.
More about it. Yeah. None of them were Usain Bolt. And one is Pachinko, which we three started together, and our first initial reactions were never Usain Bolt. Yes. So I think I will have to probably go with none. So I will go with the next category is the drama that made you pull out your hair.
For me, it was definitely Little Women. I don't know. Every episode made me pull out my hair a few times. So literally, quite literally. This is not
quite literally is the word.
Yeah,
seriously.
I'm not saying it figuratively at all. Quite literally, I was pulling my hair. What is happening? Why am I watching this? So, no doubts about that.
Thing is, anybody who knows me knows that I thriller and mystery are like a big part of the genre that I watch or even I read. Even though I read a variety of stuff, 50% to thriller and mystery. You cannot screw up with me with a mystery and thriller thing and do have it so written shoddily. That's the framework. That basic plot and basic sense. Forget anything else. Basic sense. I'm not saying that you have to be like super sophisticated, but don't insult my intelligence as an audience. I felt really bad for some of the cast because some of them are people we like, and I thought that they did best of what they were doing. It's the whole plotting that didn't work, and the denouement that the villain, even the villain had superb screen presence, I have to say that, but it doesn't suddenly come out. It doesn't work for me. And I was like, okay, I, you know, had so much patience. I waited till the end and then you give me this. And then suddenly, same stupid people have the best enlightenment responses. That's all. And even after I finished watching the drama, because I am a person who is focused on the mystery part of it so much. And recently I finished reading a book called, you know, Black River. And it's a very good mystery, but it doesn't end usually like all mystery books to where a detective solves the case. It doesn't end that way. But there is a lot of social commentary about our times related to, you know, religion, many other things are covered. But you know what? None of that social commentary would have mattered if the plot hadn't worked for me or I hadn't found it believable. And that believability kind of ruined the whole drama for me. So I still find it very bizarre that there are such raving reviews by different publications and different this thing. I can understand audience saying what they want, but publications kind of saying, oh, this is sublime and this is superbly intelligent. I said, no. As a critic, at least you don't get to insult my intelligence. So yeah, that's my entry.
I have very contrary views and we've discussed it before, but I'm not going there because I do believe it was very well done. But for me, I actually would have had no entry to this had I not watched Goblin. And I had heard so much hype and I heard Gong Yoo is awesome. The romance is brilliant. The bromance is great. Second leads are awesome. And I have never slept through a K-drama, but Goblin actually put me to sleep. And if it weren't for Gong Yoo's charm, I wouldn't have got through the 16 episodes, to be very honest. I found the romance highly problematic. This is not getting discussed enough. I have no idea why. None of the reviews seem to talk about it. And to see that for 14 episodes was very, very difficult for me. And if I want to watch Lee Dong Wook and Yuna romance, I'll watch Touch Your Heart. I felt the romance was bland as hell. I slept through it throughout. So, super overrated drama in my opinion, but didn't work for me, guys.
We have two more categories and these are good ones. So, most underrated drama of 2022. Mine is Through the Darkness and Juvenile Justice. I do believe they belong to a niche as people see it. They might just say that, okay, this is crime and this is thriller. But I do feel like they are well made on all aspects, be it cinematography, be it scripting, be it performances, be it storytelling, be it bringing in compassion. I believe that these two dramas do well on all of these accounts. And I do believe they are deserve to be seen.
So mine was Love All Play. It's actually a rom-com. It's also a very good sports drama in terms of they've shown great dynamics between the players, teams, coaches, and how one misunderstanding or error on a player's part impacts the whole career of two players. And I really felt bad that this was on Disney and Disney has not rolled it out across all countries. It had one of the best ever written boyfriends in K-dramas. I love Nam Joo Hyuk's weightlifting fairy boyfriend so much and Choi Jong Hyuk's boyfriend triumphed. These are the kind of characters I want to see more mainstream, more popular. These are the kind of male leads I want to see, supportive and, you know, not being jerks to their girlfriends. And Love All Play had all the elements of a very lighthearted, but with a good messaging in the way the characters were portrayed, how everybody's redemption arcs were shown. So that would be my pick. I think more people should watch this drama for sure. And there are a lot of young actors who are still new and establishing themselves in the K-drama scene. So it was good to watch fresh faces.
For me, it was Sound of Magic for multiple reasons. This is a drama that's, I mean, it's not a typical K-drama, of course. But beyond that, it's based on this webtoon, Annara Sumanara. And it had a very fresh take from the webtoon itself. And the drama is so deep and multi-layered in so many levels, like the characters, the writing. There were so many layers to explore and understand about the drama. I think even though it is short enough in just 8 episodes and all the characters being so well written and so well performed, I don't think enough number of people have watched it or appreciated. Appreciated is of course personal choice, but I don't think it got enough eyeballs because of all the whatever initial lukewarm response that it got from people. I absolutely loved it and I loved the different take that it took from the webtoon. Those who have read the webtoon, most of them, I mean, who I was following on Twitter and interacting with, most of them did appreciate that fact that how differently they've done this. And visually, it wouldn't have been so easy to take it if they've replicated exactly what was there in the webtoon. So they've made it a lot milder, simpler, easy to digest for human emotions. So, and even then, they engaged us as an audience. So that's another drama I would love more people to watch and appreciate. Again, another reason this could have got low reception was that it's a musical.
I would have listed it myself if it were not a musical, because like you said, I don't know about comparisons with the webtoon, but like you said, it has some meaningful messages, and I especially think it is very relevant for the young audiences, especially the ones that who feel they are struggling. And even if you're not in the same situation, I would still say that it's quite relatable. I have to say, Sound of the Magic musicals, you cannot fast forward them because meaningful things happen. For example, Asphalt Roads is also a musical, though it feels like it gave a homage to, you know, Shah Rukh Khan having mustard seed feels. But I do think you cannot skip for the songs in Sound of Magic. And I would also say, like you said, visually they were stunning and they were quite well done for the kind of concept that it has.
I mean, I didn't love it as much as you both did, because I think for the first 3 episodes, I didn't know where the story was going. And when the show is just 6 episodes, you need a little more character development and direction. 4 and 5 is where the drama actually comes to the point. So I felt that for a 6 episode drama, they should have started a bit character development a bit early. So that was a common complaint. That's what I thought. But we all like things what we like. So that's perfectly fine, right? So that's how it is.
There is one more last category remaining, which is the old drama that we thought was our favorite.
I won't go read, say everything about it, but for me, it was Prison Playbook. It hit my all-time top 10, actually. I would rewatch it a lot of times for my happy pill. That was my pick.
Sangeeta, yours?
For me, it was Chocolate. I watched Chocolate this year. So that was a drama which really made me go through a lot of emotions, and I loved it to bits. I am not sure if I'll rewatch it a lot because the kind of intensity you feel watching dramas like this, you wouldn't want to go through it again and again. So maybe I'll watch a few scenes here and there though.
I would watch all the food scenes in Chocolate. Oh, yeah. She made such amazing dishes. And not desserts.
And all the beach scenes also. So gorgeous to just look at.
Very gorgeous. Greece was very beautiful.
Yes, absolutely.
So my entry is Producers. The story is about an underdog. Kim Seon's character goes as an intern. He starts by hating Gong Yoo-jin's character, who is his boss. In first few episodes alone, he goes into such a slump and he's like, nothing good will ever come out of this. But you know what? Slowly, all of them get to know each other very well. And loads of heartwarmingness comes from each other, for each other. How Gong Yoo-jin cares for the intern, or how intern figures out what she needs, and how he falls in love with her. Even though it's not a love story between them, I'm sorry if I'm giving that away, but I do want to call it out that it is not a love story. It's purely about human emotions, how our first bosses are important, and if they are good, we do well. And not only this, many times we want to do better at our work because we want to do it better for our bosses, right? And how the whole entire television industry works, I didn't find anything bad out of it. Even when there were things that were difficult, they were handled so heartwarmingly. Overall, my memory of that drama is superbly positive. So that rates as my best drama. And this is saying something because I have actually watched some good old dramas.
Okay, moving on. Your favorite actors and characters. So should we start with the favorite actor first?
I can go first and I don't need to speak too much about it. In the last episode, I already did. Kim Nang-gil at Song Ha-young in Through the Darkness is like my favorite. He carried the whole... He overshadowed everybody in the cast who were actually quite good. Everybody else in the cast is quite good. But once you finish the drama, it is like totally Song Ha-young's drama. And he has done all kinds of emotions from an introvert trying to solve crimes. An introvert trying to do the right thing in a world where he's almost hated by everybody at the first glance. I thought that he conveyed the strength of the character pretty well.
I have been raving about Yoon Kye-sang throughout the year, probably. So, he has been my favorite actor for the year. I've loved watching him in Kiss Six Sense. Then I went and watched Chocolate, Who Are You? Even a Makjang, like Beyond the Clouds. So, now you can understand why.
Sangeeta, just be honest, you're just crushing off
it. But she said, she honestly said it.
I am totally crushing off
it. She said it, she proclaimed it. Did you not see her Twitter timeline when Chocolate she was watching and Kiss Six Sense?
I don't know how Twitter algorithm works. I didn't know that she has proclaimed
it. I only got my Yoon Kye-sang got my timeline.
So,
it was hilarious to watch. But yeah, it's good. It's good to go down sometime a rabbit hole. Yeah. Yeah. I also had fun this year. So, it would have been Liu Soong-gi for me in the Law Cafe. I went into a rabbit hole. He played an amazing boyfriend. It was such an amazing romance, crackling chemistry. The best ever. It tied with me for Suspicious Partner. That's saying something, right? Because I don't let anybody come close near to what Ji Chang-wook and Nam Ji-hyun were. But yeah, Lee Soong-gi and Lee Se-young made it. And it was because Lee Soong-gi was so charming, so charming. And I was like, how did I not see this guy and notice this guy before? What is wrong with me? So I went into a similar rabbit hole. Some of his dramas aren't that great, but I loved him in all his dramas. But I think the killer performance for me this year has been, and it's a very last minute entry, was I caught up with Reborn Rich. And Lee Sung-min is just killed it. Like, he is such a powerful actor. And he was in juvenile justice, the judge, head judge. And then I saw Kings to Heart, which is a very old, decade-old drama where he plays the brother of Lee Seung-gi, and very mild, very fantastic role. But by God, in Reborn Rich, he plays this ruthless, arrogant businessman. He's not a great father to his kids. His kids have been brought up in a lot of insecurity, and you know they're perpetually under his aura. And he has this crazy confidence, call it confidence or overconfidence, whatever. But he's built a corporation, a conglomerate from scratch. And then old age signs start showing and he starts getting delirious. And his switches that went from being this confident, amazing businessman to this vulnerable old man, and his weaknesses would come out, have been brilliant to watch. So he is actually my best pick for my favorite actor this year. I was quite bowled over by his performance. Who are your favorite actresses?
Kim Tae-ri. I don't even need to say anything else. Kim Tae-ri Day is what I used to celebrate when 2521 was airing. So I have already spoken so much about her, and so you guys can go.
For me also Kim Tae-ri, but also Kim Go-yoon. I loved Kim Go-yoon in Little Women as Oh In-ju. I loved her. And given that I was watching Goblin in parallel, where I didn't like her at all, this was like complete contrast for me. So I give it to myself that I got away with all my biases. And I had liked her in Yumi's Cell, and even in Cheese in the Trap, she was very good. So I did think she's a good actress. So Goblin was my disappointment with her, but she killed it in Little Women for me. So since Kim Tae-ri already has got the vaccine last year, I'm hoping and rooting for Kim Go-yoon to get it this year for Little Women. Let's see how it goes. Sangeeta, who was your favorite actress?
For me, I love actresses who do comedy. I adore actresses who can pull off comedy without any effort. And I mean, my list of favorites always is actresses who have made me laugh the most. Park Bo Young, Jun Ji Hyun, Gong Hyo Jin also, anybody. It's like, they just make me laugh. I love them. So Kim Sejong was my favorite this year. She is hilarious. She carries the role in Business Proposal so well. I just loved watching her, just watching her on screen, the energy that she brings to the screen, and she just makes you laugh with her antics. And she has such a beautiful voice also. I absolutely loved watching her.
We have like next two categories. One, favorite couple that we ship, and secondly, favorite friendships.
Yeah, so for me, I won't go into details. I've already spoken about this a lot. Love All Play and Law Cafe couples for giving me amazing age-appropriate romance, which I don't get to see a lot in K-dramas. So it was really lovely to watch. And they had great chemistry and very well acted. Friendship duos. I think my favorite friendship drama was 2521. Nahido and Yurim's friendship was so precious, so precious. I have that with my best friend, but it was so lovely to watch where they were more reliant on each other than their respective boyfriends also. It was lovely to watch. So yeah, I would go with this.
I did not have really favorite couple to ship, but to an extent I would say Our Beloved Summer was a couple which I really enjoyed watching. Favorite friendship duo was same with me, with Meenal, 2521. I loved watching Nahido and Koyurim. Women friendships in dramas are always a treat to watch. And the growth that these two girls have, their friendship has in this drama, is phenomenal. It was so relatable and understandable. And that's exactly how some girl friendships, you know, grow actually.
My favorite scene is after their fencing match, the way they hug each other. Shows how much they missed each other, you know. So it was beautiful to watch. I always well up when I see that screen. Like, okay. I always text my best friend and I tell her I love you and I'm so glad I have you in my life. So it was
and they both do it so sincerely also. You almost feel like they're real friends and they're doing it out of so much love for each other.
Yes.
Sangeeta, I have a question for you. Why are you not shipping Kiss Sixth Sense couple? Are you being selfish and you are keeping
absolutely 100%
keeping it for yourself?
She doesn't think anybody matches up to
him
yet.
Bingo.
Okay, since Sangeeta wouldn't do it, So along with our beloved Samar, obviously that is a couple that I ship, and we have already talked about it in a deep dive, and Meenan has spoken about this. So for Sangeeta's sake, not for mine, I will ship Kiss Sixth Sense couple.
If it's my, for my sake, you should not.
No, I'm just doing the hard thing that you wouldn't do. But the audience needs to know that was a couple worth watching. They had great chemistry. Totally, we just said that, right?
If you had we had a category of couple chemistry, then I think I would have picked Law Cafe, but I think Kiss Sixth Sense would be second, definitely.
Yeah, the screen was on fire the moment.
Exactly. Screen was on fire. That's how it should be. So, yeah.
So, for friendship, my entry is same as you both. There was never a doubt about this one, not even for a second. But I have one other friendship moment to talk about, even though the female friendship is not the highlight of this drama, which is Extraordinary Attorney Wu. And Wu Young-woo and the other girl who was with her in college. And since day one, she kind of, you know, helps her. There is one small scene. She tells her that you are on a nickname basis with people. What is my nickname? And she says, you know, beautiful Chaseon. And she kind of makes up these kind of nicknames. And Young-woo is like, no, you are none of those things. And then she's like, what am I? And she says that you are spring sunshine. And she's like, why? Because you know what, you ever since in college you told me, you know, where to go, where the classes happen, you defended me without being asked to, and even now you are telling me that you will tell me whenever my favorite dish is there in cafeterias. And she's so touched and she's not able to say anything. That is a moment I also go and rewatch, even though I don't rewatch a lot in Extraordinary Attorney Wu. So female friendship, even if there is a small, like you said, Sangeeta, it's a treat and I'll take it wherever I find the moments. Before we go to the next category, I think we should definitely talk about the favorite squad.
The squad that made me laugh a lot, and I loved how heartwarming also they were with each other, was the Law Cafe. There were these two Ajummas in the building, and there was obviously the main couple, the psychiatrist, the doctor, who was the cousin of the main lead, and they are cafe boys who were adorable. So the way these guys help Kim Yuri solve the cases was fun to watch. And they gave me a lot of moments of laughter and very heartwarming and very tight. And I want to see people close and work with people like that. So that's my pick.
Mine is 25-21. And I believe this too, we have talked a lot about in our deep dive. I love the entire gang, how they supported each other through thick and thin. When we grow up adults, we remember our times when we were growing up, when we were participating in competitions or studying through the college as the easier times. But when you are going through them, those are the hardest times, and the squad that you have around you at the time really, really matters. And I believe they did that very nicely, heartwarmingly. Each one came through for each other at different times, which is what should be in any squad.
For me, it was Ghost Doctor. It was the most bizarre squad ever of ghosts and doctors possessed by ghosts, people who can see ghosts. So it was really ridiculous watching them and them going about their antics. But the way they were all tied together by some weird twists of fate and destiny whatsoever. So it was fun to watch all of them. And they were all very good actors and actresses who made you watch all those bizarre moments.
So, favorite show stealer, essentially a supporting cast character that actually caught your attention more than the main leads.
Unanimously, Kang Ki-young.
Kang Ki-young. And this is a message from our podcast to the drama makers. What did you do with his character? What were you trying to do with his character? Such a lovely arc that it had. And I loved the interactions Young-woo had with her boss.
And there was so much potential for his character to grow and with Wu, along with Wu, and so much to do. And what did they do? What did they do with him?
I have to mention this is when I was rethinking this, okay? I realized they did... This is like a deja vu. What they did with Han Ji-pyeong, because they realized Han Ji-pyeong is getting better than the leads, they did to Kang Ki-young. I think the writer figured out he's getting more popular.
Quite
so write him out. I was so upset. Yeah. I was so upset. I was like, why? My favorite character in the drama. Why would you do this to me?
I know, yeah. I felt that way. And I think they've lost their way with his plot. Like one time they showed him scared off because of some assailant. And I was like, okay, what happened to that thread? Why did you drop it? And then suddenly he's sick. Basically, they didn't know what to do with him.
True.
But I really hope that Kang Min-young, he gets something good to do in future dramas and we can watch more of him.
He's got a main lead show. Yay! I read somewhere. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but I would watch.
He deserves it.
Yeah, totally. He's an actor totally worth watching.
And by the way, he never looked so good, okay? I thought he looked
true.
Really good in the suits.
Agreed. Because they always treated him as a clown. They gave him clown characters. So this side did not come across.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. After seeing his clown character in Secretary Kim, you wouldn't really imagine him to be this uptight lawyer who is heading this team and dealing all the serious cases and everything. You can't even imagine him sitting in this law office without being a clown. You only would have thought that he might be the office clown who's just passing around papers and making fun of people.
His character has some leadership lessons to learn from. That's what good leaders do. They give you a listen and they try to understand where you're coming from, even when it seems frustratingly slow. And he tells her, okay, where are you going with this? Okay, this, so what? And you know what? I have come across mentors like that and it has always aided to my growth. So I really thought there was something gold happening between those conversations. And they reduced toward the end of the drama. And I didn't like that.
So we are rooting for Kang Ki-young definitely in 2023. Let's see how it goes. Okay. Should we move to the next and the last category of different scenes?
So our first category is the favorite funny scene. Good, high time we laughed again. We just said 5 minutes ago, but...
I can't go into every scene, but when Looney, the character on Prison Playbook, and Jung Ae-in, who plays Captain Yu, and there's another guy, sorry, I don't remember his name, but his character is Kaist, and Looney is shown like he's a recovering druggie, but he's so blunt to them, calling them that you are rude and you know, you are a scumbag and you are like this, and he pisses them off, and the scenes are very physical comedy, but all three of them have done really, really well. So when I'm depressed or I'm feeling low, those are the scenes I go and watch. And I forget the actor's name. He was also in Mate, Please the Court, that released this year as a lead, but he's done a swell job. So yeah, those were all my funny scenes to speak about.
Sangeeta, yours?
Mine was Lee Do Kwas watching dramas and commentary on them. Like, we see our aunts and grandmothers do that with Indian soaps, right? What the hell are you doing? How can you do this to that girl? Lee Do Kwas does exactly that. And the funniest part is that he's a chebol who is sort of passing on his empire to his grandson. And then he's making all these comments about chebols in the dramas. It's hilarious to watch. Every time he would come on screen, I was like, okay, and now let's see what's
going on. He was one suspicious partner as exactly. Well, right? He was very funny
very good.
Okay, my favorite funny scene are all the scenes. They're all the scenes between Young-woo and her crush. I have forgotten the guy's name. People will kill me.
Kang Tae-ho.
Kang Tae-ho, how did I forget? So Kang Tae-ho and Park Yoon-bin scene, there's a scene where, you know, she tells, okay, we are not dating. He gets so frustrated and he is like, you know, I went and picked up garbage with you. I went on Save Wales campaign. And after doing all that, you are saying that we are not even dating. And then she said, we go to restaurants. And he's like, they were all kimbap restaurants. And after doing all of that, we are not dating. This is too much to bear. And there was another time, she was in awe of the character who basically liberates the kids. She was very much impressed by him. And she talks a lot about him to Kang Tae-in. And he's like, today you're not talking about Wales. This is the first time I've seen you talking about another person other than Wales. And he's saying it in, you know, jealousy because he's tired of her. And he's like, why do you like him? And she's like, because he's as strange as me. So I loved their scenes a lot because Park Yoon-bin, because of her character disability, she was obviously clueless and oblivious to what her boyfriend or her crush was feeling, even though she very much loved him. But those frustrating scenes were quite ridiculous as well. And other things that I enjoyed was Pegasus Market, where Kim Byung-chul is doing drama from first episode to last episode. He's wearing some garish, bizarre outfits, doing some very bizarre choreographed actions, and they're all funny, and he's able to carry them off, all of them well. I think
Poonam, with a straight face,
with a straight deadpan.
I love Kim Byung-chul for his deadpan humor. He's amazing. Exactly. Pegasus Market flies because of him.
Totally. Even his voice doesn't have any highs and lows. He delivers it so flat and, you know, oh God, that is a joke.
He's brilliant. He's just brilliant. I mean, he can carry off any outfit, I think. I was just falling off my couch when I was watching Pegasus Market for the first time. He's ridiculous. But I loved him. The funnier part was Lee Dong-wi's poor guy's expressions towards Kim Byung-chul's antics. Okay, that is even more hilarious to watch.
Yeah, I think that pairing really worked. Lee Dong-wi is obviously a very good actor. And that pairing really works. His frustration.
The comic timing was fantastic. So yeah, definitely. I agree with those. Heartwarming scene. Many, many nice ones. But I think the one that really welled up and I was like almost in tears is when Nahido wins a medal. And she's had this whole medal controversy around it. And people are blaming her. She comes and quietly sits. Her mother is also not available to talk to her. And old men in the restaurant tell her, hey, you're the one who won the medal. Go on. We loved it. We are rooting for you. And she just breaks down because that's what she needed to hear at that time. Somebody just praise her for winning and nobody was doing that. And God, that scene was lovely. Lovely to watch.
And that's what we also needed to hear as an audience. It was heartwarming for us as well. A balm on our heart.
You know, your own dear ones are not telling you, and a random stranger you don't know tells you and puts belief back in you. It was such a wonderful scene. And God, Tyree killed that scene. Yeah, how much she cried and broke down. Lovely to watch. So that's my pick.
For me, same 25-21, a lot of those friendship scenes between Nahido and Goyurim, they were very, very heartwarming. Especially because you see the struggles of both these girls. They come from such different backgrounds. Their worldview is so different. Nahido coming from she has such a successful mom. She has sort of more privileged than Koyurim, and you see Koyurim coming from such a loving family but struggling so much. Their worldviews are so different, yet they love each other so much, and the way they stand by each other and understand each other's point of view, I think that's really commendable. Like when you watch that, you feel like, wow, I mean, that's what true friends actually do. And when the kind of friends that you make in life too, when you think back on your friendships, I think you do find friends like that, right? So it's very relatable, and you feel like, wow, this is something that I would love to watch on screen.
I agree.
Since you both have already spoken enough about 25-21, which I agree with every word 100 times over, I put up another scene, which is from Through the Darkness. It's about the main lead protagonist, Song Ha Young. He basically suffers a breakdown because he's trying to analyze crimes and do a behavioral analysis of very dark crime perpetrators. It's a very difficult thing, and he was trying to put them in their shoes, and that leads to his breakdown, and he's in hospital and he realizes that I cannot do this anymore. And then some of his squad members come in there, and these are the same squad members who had treated him with disdain. They did not believe in what he was doing. They had tried, worked hard to keep him out, oppose, and their respect was won over grudgingly. And by this time, when they were visiting, they were friends, and their relationship had always been professional. And Song Hyo's character is very introvert, but there is a moment where he tells them very honestly, I'm not coming back, because he had made up his mind that he's not going to go back. Nothing else is said in that scene, but you could see the two members who came to see him, their expressions that it was a big deal, and they really empathized with him. And soon after that, something happens to make Song Ha Young change his mind. Of course, the hero has to come back to his job, otherwise how will the show go on? So there was, in his previous case, which he was investigating, there was a victim's mother. he had as a kindness from a human being and not as an investigator. There had been few moments where he had been kind to her. But when he encountered her in the hospital at his bad time, both of them chose to ignore each other. Why? Because their memory is connected to one most saddest moments of their lives. So they choose to ignore each other. But right at the moment when Song Ha-young has totally given up, this woman comes up. She brings him some home cooked food, and she tells him that, you know, I could not speak to you before because it was very hard for me to see you. And she says how he helped, and that changes his perspective on his job again. He feels strong enough to go back. I thought that thing is so heartwarmingly done. Even if all of us are not investigated crimes, all of us reach a particular point where we need validation, support to keep going, to have the motivation. I thought that in a drama which is as dark as that one, to find such a human, heartwarming moment, I thought that it was superb.
Yeah, I fully agree with what Poonam said. It was the most touching moment in the entire drama. And I think this is why I feel Korean crime dramas do great, great writing in terms of getting us invested emotionally in the characters. And these scenes you may not see in Hollywood crime dramas. The focus was lovely. And many words are spoken, right, Poonam? Not many words are spoken in those scenes. It's just the expressions. And you actually feel what they are going through. Beautifully done. I agree wholeheartedly.
Shall we just do two more categories? Let's do confession and outburst. Outburst se end karte hain, it's funny.
I watched a lot of rom-coms. And the big part of K-dramas is how you confess, right? We have done a special episode on confession scenes also. Any favorite confession scenes this year?
I will let you both knock yourselves out because I could not bring a confession scene to mind, but I had other scenes which I considered lovey-dovey. So you both go first.
For me, it was Extraordinary Attorney Woo. It was not really, both their confessions were not like real typical K-drama confessions. But the way their love story was portrayed and the way they both came to terms with feelings for each other and they spoke about it, I found it very heartwarming. It was a joy to watch that Kang Tae-ho doesn't judge her because of her being on the spectrum. And I don't know if they want to do further seasons, but in this season, at least, it wasn't very clear whether he really fully understood what it means to actually love a person who's on the spectrum and thinking of spending the rest of the life with them or whatsoever. So to think that he hasn't judged her, he doesn't mind being with her, he loves her totally, absolutely. And in fact, it's like typical any love story, right? The way he comes to terms with the feelings for her, it was not out of sympathy, pity or anything. He suddenly, typical K-drama, they fall on one on top of the other and then he suddenly wonders, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling something for her? So that was very sweet.
And he fought for his love. He actually went back to ask many times, why are you breaking up? And when he heard her reason, he was stumped because he realized there's truth in that. But he comes back again.
So
I like that.
Yeah, so I love that. Even Wu completely, she doesn't immediately say yes or anything, right? When he says that he likes
her. She doesn't even give reasons.
Yeah. So even she takes her time to process it, to think that, okay, he does like me. I like him, yes, but he also likes me. So that whole process was very sweet.
Mine was The Law Cafe. And this is because generally, you know, K-drama, there's a build-up when the confession is coming and you know it's going to come and OC is going to blurt it out. Law Cafe, the beauty was it happened in episode 6 over a very simple dinner conversation. And there's a history that he's been in love with her for 17 years, but they've been best friends. But he can't tell her because his family has wronged her father. So there's a history which he wants to set things right before he can tell about his feelings. But she's this firecracker, so she confesses to him already that she likes him. And he realizes that while I'm fighting this, I cannot fight my feelings for her. And she deserves honesty. And she's gone to her father's grave and she's come back and she's upset and she's like, cook for me. She comes to him and he's like, okay, come. And he cooks a fabulous meal. And just over the course of the conversation, he tells her that I have feelings for you, but will you wait for me because I need to resolve a few things. So I would like you to wait for me. And Yuri's like, so does this mean, are you saying that you like me? Are you like, you're going to see? He's like, yes, that's what I'm telling you. She's his tenant. She owns the cafe in his building. She's like, please write this in the contract that we are not going to meet after 6 o'clock because I don't think I'll be able to control myself around you after the evening. And she's like, I'm going to go home and think about what you said about me. He's a soft guy and she's this firecracker and he's just so startled at her expressions. But it was very naturally done, very organically, and I've not seen that happen in K-dramas. So, and that's where it flipped for me. That's where I fell for Lee Seung-gi's charm, and it was lovely to watch. So, yeah, one of my favorite confessions now.
Unlike you both girls, I wasn't able to pinpoint the exact typical confession scene that I loved most, but my favorite scene is something little after, which is in Chocolate, where Yoon Kye-sang's character finds out that Haji Won is the little girl that he had loved. And I have been waiting for that moment throughout that drama, all through all those cries, all those ups and downs, that when will he find out? Because I knew that something beautiful and brilliant is going to come after. And it was. He was so sweet, so empathetic. He was so loving. So I believe if I were to rewatch anything in Chocolate, it would be those parts, which I know happen in between 14 to 16 episodes. I really waited a long time for those moments and they were worth it.
And it was so beautiful because he had cooked her a meal when she'd come first time at his restaurant, which his mother owned. And he again cooks a meal for her and that's how he makes the connection.
I loved it when he asks, have you been here? How he asked the question, because he really wants to take it slow and be 100% sure and doesn't want to assume anything. I was like, thank you. Thank you. This is what I was waiting for. Finally.
Haji Won does wonders through her eyes, okay, at that point. She's like tearing up.
She knew it already, right? She hadn't told him. So it was something that he had to find out for himself.
Correct.
Poor thing.
Yeah. Okay. We've wrapped up everything. We cannot end this review without our favorite part, which is the outburst that you saw in a character. Who's going to go first?
Again, unanimously Kim Perry.
Unanimously. Oh, God.
Right, about all our outbursts through 25-21, somebody made a clip somewhere I saw. A GIF.
Did they?
Yeah.
I have to see this.
I remember seeing that too on Twitter.
Please share it with me. My God, I've been wanting this. I'll say, somebody please club all of Tyrese Nahido's outbursts. I will watch it again and again.
Okay. What a spitfire she is. Just...
My God. But for the viewers, I know we've discussed and maybe we have discussed in our deep dive. It could be a repetition. Yeah. But we have to talk about one or two scenes. Yeah, which crack me up.
I mean, these are the things that stayed with us in 2022. So we have to talk about it.
So who's going first on that?
The most hilarious was that manga that she borrows and she kind of tears the paper. So she draws such bad pictures.
No, not just bad pictures. Her language is bad. He corrupts her spellings.
Yes. Oh, God. That was hilarious.
And he runs up to her and she realizes she's caught and she wants to say, but she's mumbling and blabbering. Nobody understands what the hell she's talking, but she was amazing.
You think that K-drama being a K-drama, you think that maybe she'll become this coy girl and she's suddenly maybe tearing up in secret. Maybe he'll go and, you know, sort of maybe he'll give her a small hug and she'll feel better. And then you see that she's ridiculously bawling on the road. What a character!
She was amazing.
I wanted to call out once again, I have spoken about it, Kang Tae-ho's outburst at each of his interactions with Young-woo, and all of them justified, were actually quite funny. I totally, even though I've never been in a situation like that, I found them very relatable, frustratingly relatable. That says a lot about my experience though.
Okay, so that's our wrap up for year in review for 2022. If our listeners liked our choices or didn't agree, please write to us. We are on Instagram, Twitter, email. All our handles are in the episode notes. Before we end this episode, any 2023 dramas that you're excited for?
I'm excited for Interest of Love. That's the only drama I'm looking forward to actually right now. Yoo Yoon Suk. I'll get to watch him in an office rom-com. So hopefully, and that too, he's coming with Moon Ga Young. I like her too. So I'm hoping this will be good. Yeah, I'm hoping this will be good.
I actually don't have anything on my radar. I want to clear off a lot of old dramas backlog, which are like a must watch.
You both need to have things on your radar and you need to watch it first so that I know what I'll watch next.
Poonam has her own agenda.
She has her own selfish agenda. You guys become the guinea pigs, then I'll decide whether I need to waste my time or not.
That's how I ended up watching only good stuff in 2023. So, it works. It's a wrap for 2022. And we encourage all our viewers to tell us their favorite scenes and dramas of 2022, as well as anything that they think we should watch in 2023. Our calendars are open.
Yeah. And I wish everyone a very happy new year. Have a wonderful 2023. And we will try and do our best to be regular if we can, and we'll try to cover little more K-dramas in our episodes next year. So that's a wrap, and thank you so much for being with us this entire year and listening to us and encouraging us. So anything you girls want to add before I close it?
Happy 2023, that's all we have to say.
And until our next episode, annyeong.